Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, we're getting some pictures of Mason in Fight Club. We're getting some suggestions.
I'm telling you, that could be it.
That he's Kimbo Mace. I think that's the guy that was
Kimbo Slice.
Kimbo Slice. And didn't they make him like a real fighter at one point?
Yeah, he did.
Didn't go particularly well. Then real fighters kind of took care of him fairly easily.
Yeah, I think he got into some real fights, but I think he made his name from the backyard brawls that you're talking about.
Yeah, that was the guy that had the giant beard, right? Mm-hmm. And he was super ripped and terrifying, and then they put him in against real fighters, and I think that's like, oh, yeah, there's guy that can beat people up in the backyard versus guys that fight for a living. Guys that fight for a living, those are not the people that you want to mess around
with.
Like
the Paul brothers.
Yeah, those guys are really good at getting your attention and making money and kind of sort of have taught themselves how to fight. But
there's a difference between the Diaz brothers.
Yes.
Who are actually
fighters.
Fighters.
Yeah, fighters. They make their living by fighting you, which is of all the jobs in the world.
Right? Like, what do you do for fun? Well, you know, I like going
play golf.
I play golf.
Collect
baseball. What do you do for
cards.
Fun? I knock people out.
Yeah, I like to fight. Not me.
What do you mean you like to fight? 3 days a week, we go to a backyard and we fight. Different guys from all over the city come and connect.
Funny, my friends. My friends had a party in college, and every Thursday at these parties they would have backyard fights. Sometimes they would get broken up, and that was. But it was really fun and kind of exciting. But my friend, I didn't ever participate, but my friend did, and I had to get ready for it. It was a.
There were ladies fighting, girls fighting,
girls and guys. Everybody fighting. It was a lot. It was quite interesting. But it was a.
Makes me want to call the cops right now.
Don't worry.
Hey,
they
I
did.
Just heard about this scoop.
At University of Virginia.
Go back to Charlottesville back in the, you know, 20-teens, and I think there's a scoop for you back there.
Oh, do we have some insider here?
There's a certain part of my personality that is, even when I was a younger man, kind of had an old man streak through it. If you said to me, like, Emily, the party that you're talking about, hey, come on over to our house. We're going to have fights at 10 o'clock.
We put hay bales around so there's a ring.
No.
Exactly. That's one of those things I'm like, yeah, I'm going to miss that. I have no interest in seeing that. I understand that when you're at a party, especially in college, right, guys are getting drunk and guys are being idiots.
But sanctioned fights.
Fights happen. But this idea of, hey, we're going to have a bunch of fights tonight, and it's just people in the backyard trying to knock each other
Which
over the hay
I will
bale.
Say,
they
if
had
I had to
they had,
pick,
they had helmets and they had gloves.
If I had to pick between a sanctioned fight versus just a fight that comes out of nowhere, I'd take the sanctioned fight. There's nothing worse than I don't know how you are on these. You and I talked a little bit about this off air. Some people just like this stuff, right? And some people, they don't even have to participate in the fight, but they like watching it too.
Yeah,
I don't want any of that.
I want
none of that.
I go for neither.
The vibe, there's like a certain vibe, you know. Back in the days, you're at a bar, you're at this, you're at a house party, or something like that. I'm like, so I'm about to go down. Yeah, I don't want to be a part of that.
Yeah, no. You and I would have said, hey, let's go get. Let's go down.
Get some roll tacos.
Exactly right. let's go down.
And listen to Weezer. That's what I was doing.
Get some tacos. Listen to some music. Let's go. There's game on somewhere.
Too.
Let's go find a game. Let's go do that. Maybe shoot some pool, Al. Throw some darts.
Sounds like an unbelievable
Sounds
night.
Like fun, doesn't it?
Sounds great.
Hey, these guys are going to fight. You want to leave? Yep, I do.
I saw one of those spontaneous ones actually across the street. I was at the food truck getting a cheesesteak, of all things.
Is that right?
Yeah. And this guy just got punched in the face.
Right here?
Yeah, right across the street here.
Yeesh.
And I sat there and waited for my cheesesteak, of course.
Well, that's different. I'm not leaving a cheesesteak behind. Like, if I've already ordered, we're going to wait until I get the food.
This guy calls the cops. Fight to my left. Guy's down. I will take the number four.
I mean, this is every night for you, Taylor,
Extra
at your
onions.
House, right?
Extra onions.
Yeah, my roommates are fighting. I don't know. It's just following me. Violence is
like
in my
this negative aura.
It's in my past.
just following you around. Like, he's the most, you know, docile, nice guy in the world, but everywhere he goes, people want to punch each other.
If Jorge was on today, Mace would have never said what he said because it was Taylor.
That's right. That's like, right.
Let's get in a freaking fight.
You know what I'm into? Other than just random street fights, did with the Potato Bowl, Idaho Famous Potatoes Bowl was on yesterday when we were going off the air.
Yeah.
Eastern Michigan and San Jose State. Did you see how the game ended? Did you see it, Al?
Did not.
So what is the traditional thing you do when your coach wins a bowl game or Super Bowl or whatever?
And maybe take a little Gatorade.
That's
throw it, over
right?
His head.
You throw the Gatorade bucket over his head. They do that in the famous Idaho Potato Bowl. Only the Gatorade bucket is filled with French fries.
It's lovely.
So the Eastern Michigan head coach was hit with a Gatorade bucket full of French fries.
I'm right. That
it looked amazing.
That's awesome.
I don't want
the chili bowl. And then you're hit with a Gatorade filled with
a lot of fries
chili.
That went to waste. I'm like, guys, take it easy. It's like multiple giant orders of fries that could have been eaten
right,
as opposed
was,
to pouring
just
his
hypothetically
head.
Speaking, you're there.
Yes.
You're one of the players.
Yeah.
And the stack that was on top has not touched anything other than the fries below them.
Yeah.
Grabbing a couple?
Oh, yeah. If they're hot, for sure. I'm going to need salt. I'm going to need a little, you know, something to dip them in along the way. All right. So earlier today, Mace was our guest ask Slear, for lack of a better way to do it.
Yeah, we did a little ask Mace action.
One of the questions was, you know, we do have the sound? Okay. Yeah. Let's just play this. This will do a better job of explaining it than I can.
Can I tell you honestly, though, I would really love to kick Sedano's ass. It would make me very happy to drop Sedano like a bag of rocks.
Why would that be at the top of your list?
What we could do, Mace, we get the table out of the way in the studio. We got kind of a ring here.
It's kind of the right shape.
Yeah. Perfect kind of the box right shape. Here. We can sell tickets on the outside. We got people looking through the window.
I want George wearing a mock turtleneck and, you know, like a little flower in his lapel and all that stuff when he's dressed up for TV. That's the Sedano I want to kick that guy's ass.
All right.
Completely unprovoked, by the way.
Yeah, well, the question was, who would you want to fight at the station? So it was mildly provoked.
Okay, yeah, mildly.
Mildly provoked. So the other half of the bout that we're trying to put together, George Sedano. George, did you hear it live?
George,
did it get
going
back
on
to you?
Here?
How did it make its way back to you?
Oh, come on. You know Chris texted me, of course. That's how this all goes.
By the way, Morales. Chris texted us right after, too, basically saying, hey, read Sedano's tweet.
So your response is?
Well, my response is we all would love to have done things or to do things. I would have loved at one point, as my wife knows, to have dated Natalie Portman at some point in my life, but that actually never happened and couldn't come to fruition. So you could wish to want to do a lot of things, but to actually accomplish them is another. Maybe Mason 20 years ago would have an inkling of an opportunity to make that happen, but certainly not now. But by the way, as my friends in the Sedano and Cap Circle of Trust have tweeted, there's videos of Mace trying to do some sort of high jump pole vaulting.
Oh, yeah, that didn't go well.
Studio.
Was that the ankle?
And he broke his leg. Yeah, he broke his foot. So, like, we've seen him face plant
yes,
in a charity basketball game. He can't even run. Like, he would get hurt on his way to the octagon. I mean, what are we talking about here?
Well, okay, but you just said something interesting. You're going octagon. I in my mind's eye, I don't know about you, Al, I was picturing more of a boxing setup than an MMA setup. Would you prefer more of a UFC-style bout?
I would do whatever he wants. But, I mean, I could do either. I was told that you guys didn't know. I did martial arts for 20 years. Now
yeah,
I
did not know that.
It's how I made my way through. It's how I made money in high school and college. I used to teach karate, you know, I may have met a few ladies along the way too, thanks to that. But nonetheless, say is trained for real.
Uh oh. Did Mason sabotage the phone call? Emily, see if you can get George back, because I have questions.
He did 20 years?
Yeah, I had no idea. I had no idea. But here's what I want to know, because
everything
I know about martial arts comes from watching like two or three episodes of Kung Fu.
Sure.
Beyond that, I don't have a lot of expertise. I thought you're not supposed to deploy it against somebody who doesn't know how to do it. These are the things that I need to know.
Well, I'm assuming here he's talking about then defending himself.
Yeah, but if he knows that Mason is going to break his leg trying to high jump and face plant it during a basketball game, how much of a threat is he actually?
All right, we'll see if we get George back. Yeah, I did not. The 20 years thing kind of throws me off. That's a long time, and you're not just a student. You're a teacher.
Instructor.
Damn. Good for George.
I like it. We'll see. You know, Mason's going to join us in about, 50 minutes, give or take, a little bit less than an hour.
Yeah.
And,
well, 55.
We'll put it together
to go
from
to 112.
There. I think we should. We're getting a promoting fee out of this no matter what. If we can get this thing done, it should be great. Today is not only the beginning of the countdown to Sedano versus Mason, today is also National Signing Day in college football. This used to be the day when you would determine whether or not you're going to have a good football team, right? We got. This many 5-stars. We got that many 4-stars. Oh, man, we got a bunch of 2-guy. What's it mean now? Not much. Mm-hmm. Because wherever these guys are signing to go, half of them are going to be on a different team a year from now. Right?
How many times can you transfer?
I'm glad you asked.
Yeah.
JT Daniels. Remember him? Of USC quarterback, modern day, local kid. Will play college football again next year. It'll be the 6th year he's playing college football. Remember, he had the bad injury at SC. It's a COVID year. So all these things extended his college career.
Yeah.
He'll be on his 4th college football team.
Wow.
Played at SC, played at Georgia, played at West Virginia last year, and he's going to transfer to Rice in Houston.
So what's the difference of saying he played for the Phillies, he played for the Dodgers, he played for the Mets?
Absolutely no difference at all.
There isn't one, right?
The difference is that we've stopped pretending that this isn't professional sports.
Okay.
The difference is that, hey, I'm an alum of USC, or I'm an alum of UCLA, or Oregon, or Auburn, or Michigan, or whatever, and these guys are going to go to school, they're going to be on the same places, and now these are just, hey, I'm a free agent again at the end of every year. Oregon's bringing Bo Nix back, who was at Auburn, and now the kid that was going to go from high school to Oregon's now coming to UCLA, and the kid that was going to go to Baylor's now going to Oregon. It's this whole thing that, great, they better play right away, because if they don't, they move on to the next spot. Caleb Williams wasn't recruited out of high school. They took him out of Oklahoma. Jordan Addison wasn't recruited out of high school. They got him out of Pitt. So the guys that Arch Manning, for instance, right? He's going to go to Texas. He's kind of the biggest name in this thing. There's no guarantee he'll play quarterback for Texas next year or the year after that or the year after that. It's just weird. You have to almost start from scratch every single year. And while the football is really good and it's exciting, it does feel a little different.
But I will say this. I think the thing that you mentioned that's most important to me is you said they stop pretending. It's okay to stop pretending.
Yeah.
Because I think if we're trying to pretend that this is all about the university, it's all about this, all about that, come on now.
I want to get back to this. But, George, before we lost you, I was going to ask you a question. I don't know anything about martial arts other than from a couple of episodes of TV. Are you not, like, responsible as a martial artist yourself not to deploy it against somebody with the skill set of Steve Mason?
Well, probably. I mean, look, the reality is the first rule is basically don't do anything unless provoked. But he has clearly now provoked me. So now I must destroy him, basically, is how this works. What I was trying to say earlier is I did this for 20 years. Now, I haven't trained in a long time, probably like 5-6 years. But, you know, Freddie Prinze Jr. and I used to talk about it all the time when he was in studio. And we would always talk about we should train together at some point because I hadn't trained in a long time. You know, I'll call Freddie up. He and I can go train for a little bit, and I can take Mace down whenever he wants. Now, I'll take any rules he wants. I won't use my hands. I'll only use my legs if we're standing up. If we're going to go down to the ground, I'll let him, I'll let him take the advantage if he wants initially, let me fight my way out of it. I'll give him the upper hand, and I'd still destroy him. And again, this is the whole point. He may not even make it to the ring because we know he's so injury prone.
I've seen The Karate Kid, so these are where all my questions are coming from. Are you ready? Are you more like Daniel LaRusso, defensive karate, or are you like Mike Barnes, the bad boy of karate from the San Fernando Valley?
Is that Karate Kid 3 that
yes.
you're throwing at me right now?
Thank you. See, yes, it is, and thank you for knowing. I appreciate that a great deal.
Wow, look at that. Now, do I have to save the bonsai tree, though, in that scenario, too?
Yeah, when you're done, you have to rappel down a cliff to fix
George,
a tree.
I can see you being very zen in this situation.
Yeah. I honestly am more the Daniel LaRusso in that regard, but don't provoke me, because I will go Barnes and Zapka all on your ass.
Well, I can only tell you that I'm going to continue to try to provoke him to provoke you, because I want to play Don King in this matchup. I just want to put it together.
Well, here's the thing. You know what I noticed, Travis, when I heard that audio that you sent me?
Yeah.
Notice how he really focused on my look, though.
Yes.
The suit and the turtleneck and the flower on the lapel.
He highlighted all that.
Square or whatever. I think what's happening is, you know, and I know this is a sensitive spot, Mace, but if you want to play dirty, I like to play dirty. Don't test me, Mason. Remember how the alliance came up initially was because when you provoke me, I go for the white meat. Don't make me go all Sean McVay on you again in this scenario. But it's clear that he's looking at me and going, much younger, probably better looking, maybe not. He might have been. He's a handsome man back in the day, a handsome devil. But these days, you know, he's looking sloppy. You know, he's always talking about dieting. He sees me. I'm in generally decent shape, right? I dress nice. I just think that there's perhaps some envy there going on, and that just doesn't suit you, Mace. You should be better than that.
Could you fight him in a turtleneck with a flower in your lapel?
Oh, there's no, I mean, sure, whatever you want. I mean, honestly, it doesn't matter. Like, again, and I feel like Ireland, when he hears this, will back me up, that Mason won't even make it to the ring. He would probably trip and fall and get a concussion, and the fight would be over. This dude fell down the stairs while on vacation in Costa Rica and was like, he was out of commission on vacation.
Al got anything for this?
There's a lot going on
here. I mean, what are we talking about here?
Yeah, George is sounds like he'd be more than prepared.
Yes.
And here's the other thing.
Yes.
Like, I wouldn't fight you because you're bigger. I mean, maybe you couldn't catch me. You know, I could probably avoid you for a while. But if
Quite
you
a while.
Grabbed me, you'd pummel me though. Like at that point, like I could take a good hit. Because growing up as a kid, and this, you know, the statutes of limitations are probably over on this. But as a teenager, they used to make me fight guys like your size who are men. Which is probably child abuse, but again, statutes of limitations probably over.
Travis used the word he would smother his opponent.
Yeah, that's my only move, George.
There's no question. So, right, like, I wouldn't mess with you. I certainly wouldn't mess with Kirk. Are you out of your mind?
No,
Kirk and DeMarco,
yeah,
we've already decided, is a fight that nobody wants. Nobody wants that. My only move would be to hopefully get my hands on you at one point, which I'm not saying I could do, but that's my only chance. And then basically just...
I think you would just talk to him. No, I don't even think you would fight. I think you would say, hey, George, are we done?
So you know how a python kills its prey?
He'd have to chase me around the ring for a little while, right? And then at some point, Travis put his hands on his knees and be like, throw his hands up in the air and be like, come on, all right, enough. Let's just call a truce here. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
here's where it is.
By the way, I would probably be willing to do that after a while. There's only so much I can run at 45 years old around the ring, too. So.
I'm going to get you into the corner of the ring, and like a python, once I'm on top of you, when you exhale, I'm going to apply a little more weight. You're not going to be able to take another breath at some point, and then I swallow you whole.
Actually, you know who actually is, I think, low-key a good fighter at the radio station? And I know we always kind of, like, have our fun with him. I think Greg Bergman would kick a lot of people's asses at that station.
He's little, though.
But Greg Bergman, I've known him for a long time. Okay, I have known Greg Bergman for nearly 20 years. Greg Bergman, he's got a little crazy in him, is all I'll say.
He's got a little switch. He's got that, like, you know,
and, yeah,
you don't expect
eyes.
It.
And you don't want to mess with crazy. And it's hidden deep down inside. You know, it's buried away. You know, he's like somewhere in the nether regions of his soul. But I feel like that stuff can come out at any time.
I like it. I'm glad that we got this going today. I'm glad that we got the Ask Mace, and I'm glad that you got a chance to respond, George. This is terrific.
When you're back after the holiday, we've got to do a little Ask Sedano as well.
Absolutely, let's do it. And Mace, just do yourself a favor. Just stop. Stop with the nonsense. I understand the envy is not. It doesn't suit you, Mace. Stop it. It's okay.
Thank you, George.
See you guys.
All right. I like that. I like that we're just instigators. I've decided that this is my role in life. Much like asking about music platforms, I just want to try to match make fights in the office.
That moment during the music platforms, you did reach a moment when everyone was bickering at each other, and you kind of went back into your seat and you just started smiling like, I created all this.
I just want people to dislike
Don
each
King
other.
Seeing a sold out 20,000 seat arena.
Let's put that on my tombstone. He just wanted people to dislike each other. I think that would be a wonderful epitaph. Or is that, what's the word? That's right. I think I got that right. Close enough. Close enough. Carlos Correa is a Met? Huh? It's true. It's coming up next. It's Travis Lee. Matchmakers, Don King, beware. 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
So Big E says, so we got to fight. We have Trav and Sleep promoting. Now we got to get Beto to do the blow-by-blow. Beto, of course, has a lot of background in calling fights, interviewing fighters. So I feel like Beto would be well-served in kind of the Larry Merchant role, like being in the ring after the fight, interviewing the combatants. I think Ireland's got to be the guy on the blow-by-blow, right?
Yeah, the play-by-play there.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, that makes sense. That makes sense. Beto is, what is it, why am I forgetting the network? Is
it? Oh, DAZN.
Yeah, DAZN. That's exactly what it is. Yeah, he's definitely got that experience for it. Francis and Glendale said that I should fight Dean Spanos. I'm down for that. You have to tell me.
Yeah, well, that might actually get your blood boiling that enough to throw a punch.
That would be the only one that I think I'm ready. And whoever
that's
wins,
actually a good one.
And whoever wins, the Chargers will go to that city.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. I've never seen
I just
Dean
don't even
Spanos.
Know. Yeah, Dean just comes out just.
Is he big? Is he little? Is he
no,
in shape,
big.
Out of shape? Do I have any idea?
No, I'd have to
I've never seen him.
Think
couldn't
I'd have
pick
to
him
go,
out of the lineup.
I think I'd have to go against one of his sons because he's older.
That's to your advantage. Look, this is a fight. We're not necessarily
Apparently,
looking to make it a
he
good fight.
He is 5'4".
Oh, Slee.
So, you know, could be helpful. He
looking down on him.
He's an elderly 5'4", gentlemen.
I'm looking down on him.
72 years old.
5'4", 72.
I got to go against his son.
I like your chance. I want to put some money on you. I think you...
He just hits me with an uppercut.
You're looking pretty fit. You look like you're in good shape. I think you got a 5'4", 70 how?
I just come in all cocky. He just gets me with an uppercut.
I don't know.
He pays you off.
He was born in Stockton, though. That might be a problem.
Yeah, that's could be Stockton a rough neighborhood. Could be a rough neighborhood.
The Diaz brothers.
But you coming out of San Diego, like what you'd have to do is you have to go watch a bunch of old Charger footage.
Oh, no problem.
Like a bunch of the Chargers when they were
no
your
problem.
Team. And then all of a sudden you see a bunch of Justin Herbert stuff. And so you're like, you want
to
go in there and
come out
tear
ready
his
to
head
go.
Off.
Come out ready to go.
I like it. Book it. Book the arena. Let's do it at SoFi. We'll sell 85,000 seats and get it going.
Just as much as Taylor Swift.
Just as many as
Taylor
Swift. That's
the Taylor Swift for today.
She
has a daily.
That was pretty good. I didn't even... pick it up at that point, but that's pretty good. I do like that that's your thing, right? That every day we got to find a way to mention Taylor Swift.
I'm going
to
bring it up before you do.
We're going to see. Oh, Chris will do the imaging. Well, you'll clap. You guys hear Taylor Swift online last night?
It'll be like a thing we can give away. Like catch Emily's Taylor Swift.
That's actually not a bad way to do it. I don't know if I've ever seen what happened with Carlos Correa. I've seen players change their mind. Like DeAndre Jordan is a famous example, right? He was going to go to Dallas and then decided to come back to the Kings.
So they locked him up in his
hotel room.
Yeah. That was pretty...
It's pretty funny.
And that free agency period is always, you know, kind of wild. You can call the NBA free agency wild. I'm with you, Trav. I don't remember a moment like this. He was set to have his presser.
Yeah.
They were set to introduce Carlos Correa as a San Francisco Giant. What were those terms? 13 and
the original deal was 13-year, $360 million deal. The deal he signed with the Mets is a 12-year, $315 million deal. So it's one less year and $35 million fewer dollars.
So if the Giants had some hesitancy, right? They hesitated on, okay, maybe there's something going on here with his physical. It's kind of funny to me that the Mets, there's no, like, what did the Giants stop at that the Mets wouldn't stop at? Do you see what I'm saying?
Just for sure.
That quick hesitation of just, okay, let's think about this here for a quick second. If there's an issue with a player that you're going to bring in for 13 years, we just want to make sure we dot our I's and we cross our T's. And in that process, Correa and the Mets decided, hey, we're going to close a deal here right away.
It's really unusual. And that's why I asked Alden earlier today, because there are two things that could have happened, and they make a huge difference between how you perceive what went down. If this is the Giants, one of Emily's factor caps before was, have you ever ordered something drunk the night before off Amazon or whatever? And the next day, maybe, wait, I ordered what? And you can go and cancel the order.
Yeah.
Maybe
it hasn't been shipped yet.
Maybe that's what the Giants did. Maybe they woke up and said, did we really give Carlos Correa $13 million and 13 years and $360 million? Hold on a second. Can we have somebody look at the medicals and see if there's something that might raise a red flag and we can look for a way out? If that's what it is, then the Giants right now are sitting in their offices with their hands behind their head and their feet up on the desk saying, whew, you know, thank goodness we didn't do that. If it's the other thing where they genuinely saw someone say, hey, and nobody knows what the injury is, but hey, we saw this on a report. We have a few questions before we finalize this thing. And he just called the Mets back and said, hey, I'll come over. And the Mets went, yeah, we'll do that. You're devastated if you're the Giants.
I feel like it's that.
The second thing?
Yeah, I do.
How come?
I think they wanted to get a star this offseason, San Francisco Giants did. They were trying to get Aaron Judge. Remember how much money they were going to throw at Aaron Judge?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't get him. They went to Plan B. Plan B was Correa. They lose their pitcher to the Yankees as well. They put themselves, I thought they're trying to find, whether you like the term or you don't, they're trying to find a franchise player, somebody that's going to sell tickets. I want to say they had their season tickets last year was down 6%. That doesn't happen that often. There's a lot of times, especially in these good markets, you're not losing season ticket sales. You should be gaining them. I think they were, at least from what it seems like, right, all in on the Correa stuff. Who hates Correa more than anybody? The Los Angeles Dodgers. Maybe it's also a good storyline that Correa is going to play for the San Francisco Giants. I don't think they got cold feet. I really don't. I think that the numbers right now are so crazy. Everybody keeps looking at that annual. What is he making annually? And part of the reason why you stretch it out 13 years is because maybe in 7 years that annual salary won't look nearly as bad as it does today or tomorrow or right. A year from now. I think they wanted to, in some shape, way, or form, make some type of a splash. Look what the Padres are doing. The Dodgers are always good. Look at just the NL, the Philadelphia Phillies, the New York Mets, the Atlanta Braves, there's a lot, St. Louis Cardinals, a lot of good teams, and San Francisco's kind of left on the outside. I don't know if they – maybe they got cold feet, but I don't think – if you would have told them today you still have Correa or you're okay with Correa going to the Mets, I think they would take Correa.
Your theory makes sense, but there's one part of it that makes me think maybe not.
They're not going to win enough?
No, he took less for fewer years to go somewhere else. If the Giants would have – when they went, hey, I'm going to the Mets, well, hold on a second. We're offering you more another year, $35 million more. Why would he go to the Mets? If they literally had a, hey, listen, forget the medical thing. We still want you. We'll give you all the stuff. The Mets deal, while asinine in conjunction with all the other asinine things that they handed out – It's less than what the Giants were offering, and if you had a 13-360 on the table, and the other guy offering that really wanted you, I don't know why you would run across the street for a year less and $35 million less, unless you're just angry, which I guess could be part of it.
Could be,
but that if it were exactly the same, then I'd be like, yeah, look, they dropped the ball. They should have just kept, because Carlos Correa has been. Nobody knows what the injury is. That's what makes it kind of weird.
I was gonna
too,
say,
right?
You think we'll get
somebody
at some point we're gonna have to get some details.
Somebody inside the Giants that knows may say something at one point. I don't know, because look, they're gonna have to, if what you're saying is true, right? If what you're saying, that they just had a legitimate medical concern, that something came up in their process of evaluating his health that said, hey, listen, this is a problem, and they lost him because of that, they need to explain that to somebody. Now, you can't just say, oh, he's got, I'm making stuff up here, just to be perfectly clear. He's got a bad knee, and we didn't want to do, and we decided we did. Okay, then at least some of your fans were like, all right, they didn't want to give a guy with a bad knee.
And there's a reason for it, right?
But if they just said, hey, you know, can we take a second look at that thing? And no, I'm going to the Mets. That's a disaster.
So Scott Boras is going to speak because of Rodon. So, like, he's going to speak at a conference for Rodon as an introduction. So, I'm sure he's going to field a lot of questions regarding Correa. So, maybe we'll get something from Boras. It still won't be the same answer as a Giants person, but...
Do you know if the press conference for Rodon is in New York for the Yankees, or is it somewhere else?
I believe it was New York. I'll double check that.
Because that makes a huge difference.
Judge today.
Yeah.
He was doing all stuff, so probably on
because
the
Mets reporters will go over to the Rodon press conference to try to get answers 100%. About that. But if it's in, I don't know, Dallas, I don't know where Rodon's from. But if it's somewhere else, then you might get a, will. But if it's in New York City.
What a weird. That's so odd.
You know what's the best part about it? As a Dodger fan, I don't really care where he is. That's a bad deal for the Mets. It's a bad deal for the Giants. And the Dodgers clearly are having a very different approach this offseason than just about everybody else.
I will say, let me just ask you bluntly. Are the Mets more dangerous for the next couple of years with Carlos Correa on their roster?
Moderately, yeah.
He is, right?
Yeah, he's really good.
But so that's my only thing is the Mets just got better. They got better. And even if it's a short term.
Not by Vegas.
If it's a short term,
yeah,
they got better.
Yeah, but that's the best team, like we've talked about a million times. Vegas doesn't think that they're the best team. Vegas still has the Dodgers as the best team. Vegas has the Astros as the second best team. The Mets are the third best team, even after the Correa thing, which doesn't really mean a whole lot, right? Because the best team probably gets into the tournament.
I get it.
But if they had
Phillies can go to the World Series with 87 wins.
I'm making up numbers here again. But let's say the Mets had a 20% chance of winning the World Series prior to yesterday. Now they got a 24% chance for $315 million. And by the way, that 24% chance is in a super condensed window.
Yeah.
That every time you get a little bit older, as more and more time comes off
that
the
percentage
calendar,
goes down.
It starts, and significantly so. Now, he may just say, bleep it, and I'm just going to keep buying new guys, and we'll keep paying all these old guys. He said, what's the difference? He's going to have a payroll.
Yeah.
When you have the payroll plus the tax, nearly $500 million. It's about $494 million after payroll plus tax. That's nearly $150 million more than the Dodgers had last year. And that was the highest one of all time.
Yeah, I'm trying to see. What is his net worth? It says his firm is worth $26 billion. $9 billion.
This is all fake money to me, honestly, at some point. Like that's an insane amount to think about.
Okay, this is...
I will say this. I am what Alden mentioned earlier. It's not that it's okay, but I'm a big fan of owners wanting to win. I'm a big fan of that. But that doesn't mean just because you want to win, your strategy of getting there is the right strategy.
I want to push back on that just a little bit because there's a potential move that maybe he does make next year. We'll talk about it next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I didn't know that George was a martial artist.
Did not know.
I think the sanctioning body, whoever that is in charge of radio fights, I don't know if they'd sanction that.
I think Taylor's playing some calming music here to kind of calm the mood down a little bit.
You need to calm down, Slee.
A little reggae there.
I like how he said, and when we got George on, that he used to like pick up some ladies doing karate. It's like, I don't know if ladies are necessarily attracted to guys who are super into karate. It's not really high up on the list.
Well, I'm just going to throw this. If you're an instructor.
I don't think he was walking around the streets of Miami
wearing
in his
gi. I am a karate. I do
it's
karate.
It's kind of like a turn off, if I'm going to say anything.
But if you're an instructor and it's kind of a self-defense thing, I would think there's
maybe
some
he was teaching ladies
towards that.
Ladies that want to learn karate. Like,
yeah. That. Think of it that way.
Teaching ladies fine, but I
no.
just.
It's that. I don't think he's walking him through the mall in his gi doing, you know, kicks, doing the crane kick from Daniel LaRusso.
Hey, go get her number. Sounds good.
Ah! I think what it is maybe little kids come in for instruction and moms are, oh, look, handsome.
But then the guy's into karate.
Sensei Sedano is over there. And I'm over there and all of a sudden, hey, he can protect me. If you're a karate instructor, you're in pretty good shape. Right, you're athletic. All of these things, it's not the karateness of it all; it's the package of it.
I don't think Emily is going to be dating.
Yeah,
but karate guy.
I think that about like Dwight Schrute. He's the guy that's like really into karate.
I don't think that's. I think that's the wrong guy. I think you got to think.
Name of the karate
Johnny
guy.
Lawrence. I think you got to go Johnny Lawrence.
That's Danny LaRusso.
Right. He's a wuss.
But that's. That is a good example of somebody who's just using it in defense.
Johnny Lawrence got Allie with an eye first. So obviously he turned her head, which is quite an accomplishment if you're asking me.
Not turning Emily's head.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying Allie with an eye is, yeah, she might be number
so
one.
So, Slee, what are the terms of our bet for tomorrow? Are we just doing the jerseys?
Yeah, we just got to do the jerseys. I was trying to coordinate something for Sacramento, but we're not going to make it. We're not going to be able to make that happen.
The AD injury?
It's not the AD injury. Let me tell you something. With or without that AD injury, I was still... No, actually, if AD was playing, I'd have felt a lot more comfortable. He's not playing. He could lose anybody.
That's a big difference.
But we need the cowbell thing for Taylor, where like every time he speaks, he has to do a cowbell, like one cowbell for yes.
I like that idea.
Two cowbells for no. I think that's...
Maybe that's for round three.
I do not own a cowbell.
I'll go buy one for that. There's got to be a feed store near my house somewhere.
Go to a music shop would have one.
Oh, and more cowbell just for the Will Ferrell skits?
Well, yeah, they're on drum kits.
Pop.
Yeah. I like that idea.
We need to find something a little more embarrassing than wearing a jersey for Sliwa.
I don't know. Al acted like it was radioactive the last time he put it on.
I was not happy to wear it.
Like it was covered in
first
Ebola
time I
virus.
Think
one segment
it's literally the first time I've ever wore a non-Laker jersey. Wow. Had to do it.
Steve Cohen basically bought every player that he wanted on the open market this year, right? What if he decides that, okay, fine, I got a payroll that's nearly $500 million, literally. It's like 490 something with tax.
Yep.
What if he said, literally, in the most literal sense of the word, money is no object. And he says, Shohei Ohtani, the bidding opens next year, and let's just say, round numbers, Ohtani is the market value that is set is roughly $50 million a year, which, by the way, is not a crazy number. What if he says, I'll give you $100 million? I don't care. Like you said, what's the difference? I'm already at this point already. And now all of a sudden you have a guy in the pool that's making a mockery of this whole thing. Hmm. And it maybe it's not 100, but at this point it's like, look, I'm in for $500 million. What difference does it make if I'm in for $1 billion or $2 billion or $3 billion? I don't care. I want to win the World Series. I'm buying every guy that comes up and I'm going to make it impossible for them to say no.
I don't know how sustainable. I mean, here's the question you'd have to ask is, how are the Mets, is the money that he's putting in and these stars that he's getting, okay, how much additional revenue are you making now? Did ticket prices just go up by X amount?
But that's the point. I don't think that's it at all. He wants to win the World Series. Mm-hmm. Even if I lose
a fortune
doing
it. But that's what I'm talking about, sustainable. So even if you're cool to lose a fortune doing it, can you sustain that for 8 years?
He's got a $29 billion net worth.
Can you sustain that for 10 years? But he didn't make $29 billion by losing every year.
I understand, but the money that fund is making is more than enough to cover these sorts of crazy deals. I mean, he's already off the line of everyone else. You see what the Padres have done.
Are you trying to say it would be awful for the sport? Is that kind of your reference there?
The sport already has like 8 teams that matter and 22 that don't. Mm-hmm. That's already happened. What I'm saying is to go beyond that, to go to the point where, all right, what's your best offer, Shohei? Well, believe it or not, the Dodgers are coming in. They're offering me $50 million a year for 5 years. Okay. And he goes, okay, how about I give you 8 years and I give you $65 million a year?
Sure.
Okay, you have to say yes.
Then he's going to end up with the New York Mets.
That's what I mean. Mm-hmm. And what if the next guy that comes, he does that?
Yep.
And you literally put together an all-star team. That doesn't guarantee you're going to win, but eventually, if there are, round numbers, 50 good players in Major League Baseball and 26 of them are on the Mets, God. What are we talking about?
Yeah, listen, it's kind of funny. We saw this yesterday. The Suns are about to sell for $4 billion, right? Trav, it's a different, you and I have talked about this, it's a different level of ownership now. It's not the same. Like, these guys are so incredibly rich, but a Dean Spanos does not look that rich compared to what these other owners are coming in at. Cronkies went and built a $5 billion stadium, $6 billion stadium. It's a different world. Yeah. I think every time new owners come in, you're talking about this kind of money. Maybe not Stephen Cohen. I mean, Bezos was interested and probably still is interested in going to get an NFL team. You're right. It's different kind of money. Is it sustainable? If they have that kind of money, I guess it is. I don't know if it's good or bad for the sport. What do you do if you're you know, these other franchises are always going to be able to. Tampa's done a good job of doing this. There's been smaller markets have been able to hang. But at the end of the day, isn't talent? Talent's going to eventually win.
And you'll have these little teeny tiny opportunities where you get a bunch of young guys that are really good and you got them for 2 or 3 years before they can hit the market, and then Steve Cohen buys them.
The good thing is in baseball, it doesn't – all that talent does not guarantee you anything in the playoffs.
I need two good pitchers and I can beat anybody. It's really what it is. I need two good pitchers and I can beat anybody. The Dump coming up next. It's Travis Slee, 710 ESPN.
Sliwa, do you remember the song Gangnam Style?
I was just going to say, this is the only thing I'm thinking about. Of everything on here, on this day in 2012, Gangnam Style, who is it? Psy? Is that?
Psy? Yeah. Psy.
Becomes the first video to reach 1 billion views on YouTube. You got it?
Yeah.
You got it there, Taylor?
We're getting it.
Okay, so that song is... That song is a perfect example of something just hitting. Like, how do you determine what's going to hit and what's not going to hit? This song, why was it so popular? I have no idea.
The dance, the sound,
the music video.
Okay, by the way, in SD in San Diego, the Padres, they play this song all the time in the locker room. It just kind of sounds so funny. I mean, it's like so random. Out of all the songs, this is a song that you're going to play. Yeah, it still hits.
Do you remember the song, What Does the Fox Say? Because that, I think, came out on the same year.
1 billion views on YouTube.
Michael can do this dance. He can do the side dance.
I remember it, Emily, the Fox song.
Yeah, What Does the Fox Say?
What does he say?
That's what he says. It's the whole concept of the song. It's like, we don't know what the fox says. And he goes like,
I don't remember that one. Do you remember that one?
It sounds a lot like Gangnam Style.
Sounds amazing.
Do you remember it?
I don't either. We were the two that did not view it.
Yeah,
but everybody else did.
Sad news. Believe it or not, that tomorrow or Friday is the 50th anniversary of the Immaculate Reception. Of course, Raiders, Steelers, arguably the most famous play in the history of the NFL. At least certainly the decade of the 70s. The guy that was responsible for the Immaculate Reception, Franco Harris, passed away at 72 years old. Here it is.
Last chance for the Steelers. Bradshaw trying to get away. And his pass is broken up by Tatum. Tipped off. Franco Harris has it. And he's over. Look! Franco Harris grabbed the ball on a deflection. 5 seconds to go. He grabbed it with 5 seconds to go and scored.
Let's watch this again.
1 million to 1 odds on this one.
Watch this. Ricochet out there off of Jack Tatum and into the man of the year, Franco Harris's hands.
When you talk about Christmas miracles, Here's the miracle of all miracles.
So do you know the urban legend surrounding that play?
No.
So we've all seen it a million times, right?
Yep.
There really isn't a clear, super definitive view on whether the ball hits the ground or not. The Raiders to this day insist that it did. Steeler fans, of course, are like, no, of course it didn't, right? So difference of opinion. The story goes, this was pre-instant replay, right?
Yep.
That the officials got together and looked at each other and said, hey, listen, he didn't catch that ball, but I'm not changing this. Oh, we won't get out of here alive.
Damn.
We will not get out of here alive. Again, urban legend. I have no idea if it's true or not, but the story goes,
a business decision.
Let's get the hell out of here in one piece. Touchdown, Steelers.
Damn.
Let's get out of here. Is it a playoff game, too?
Eaton's guys, let's go. Here we go, Steelers.
She's rocking a Steelers jacket and everything.
Yeah.
I love Franco Harris. I love the Steelers. So it's funny. I have my family has a tradition on Christmas time, at least. We go through and we watch the Super Bowl, like, DVDs of the Steelers Super Bowl. So, like, we'll sit through and we'll go through all these, like, amazing moments. Immaculate Reception's always amazing. I have my grandmother's old terrible towel. It's all these things that, like, kind of connect me both to my family and to Christmas. And so it really hurts my heart today that Franco Harris passed away. Mm. Wonderful man. And he was just, like, yesterday, like, doing autographs and pictures with fans and things like that.
They were going to retire his number on Saturday night. That they play the Raiders on Saturday night, and obviously the 50th anniversary of the Immaculate Reception, and he passed today.
Yeah, but I'm wearing my Steelers jersey,
really
wearing black and yellow for Franco Harris and for the Steelers.
This isn't Franco Harris specific, but how about this? That was the 50th anniversary is this Friday, right?
Yeah.
That was a divisional playoff game. You still have a month of regular season football left. Like, that's
it hit
how
the
much
ground, by the way.
Yeah, there's a Raider. Got a Steeler fan and a Raider fan in the back, and
Berg just confirmed it. Berg just confirmed it.
I mean, I've seen
it hit the ground.
I've seen the video from NFL film, slow motion, didn't hit the ground. Lovely catch.
You can disprove it all you want. It hit the ground.
You can't really tell. That's
Emily,
what makes
it so much fun. Yes, you can tell.
Emily, put the Steeler thing away. Did it hit the ground or no?
It didn't hit the ground. It's a full catch. It's gone on forever. It's going to go on. Yeah. So
Berg, put the Raider thing away. Did it hit the ground?
Yes, it absolutely hit the ground.
You can't tell. That's what makes it so
great. You know who can decide it when you get the super crosstalk? John Ireland can decide.
No, Ireland's a Raider fan.
No, it's fine. He's impartial.
Yeah,
and you know who's gone on to then win, six Super Bowls? The Pittsburgh
Steelers.
That has
nothing to do with the Immaculate Reception, though.
My takeaway on this is we have our first undercard event, Emily Hebel against Greg Bergman, before we get to the main event of Mason against Shadano. It's time for a little super crosstalk. Woo! First of all, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't realize.
Yeah.
The holiday spirit involves kicking Sedano's ass. It's very, very much.
I think when you said that, 13 things went in Travis's mind, and he's like, "Oh, perfect.
We've got a show."
Perfect.
You think?
Yeah. This time of year.
The second I'm like, all right, we're done. I take the pad and throw it off to
there
the side,
go.
And here we go. We got
my
show.
Notes away on who's going to be on the offensive line for the Rams this week.
John,
hey, is Ireland there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Did you hear the situation that we discovered during Ask Slee today? Today was Ask Mace. You did it a couple of weeks ago. Today was Ask Mace. Did you hear the Sedano thing?
I did not.
Okay, so Taylor, do you have the sound? Okay, so here's the one of the Ask Maces was, of all the people at the station you would like to fight, you would pick, and here's the sound.
I would really love to kick Sedano's ass. It would make me very happy to drop Sedano like a bag of rocks.
Why would that be at the top of your list?
What we could do, Mace. We get the table out of the way in the studio. We got kind of a ring here.
So, John, Mason chose Sedano. Sedano has come back in and said, yeah, in your wildest dreams.
He claims he's like a black belt or something.
Well, he said 20 years.
He said 20 years and he was an instructor. I did not know any of that.
I trained with the Gracies.
Are you up for the blow-by-blow, John? Are you ready to call the fight?
Sure, but Mace, you're making a mistake here. He's got, 20 years on you. You have, 7 screws and a plate in your foot.
True.
So you can't run from him. What would be your strategy as your manager in the corner? I'd be like Tony and Rocky. I'd be throwing the white towel in very early.
So here's the thing. There's
throw the damn safety. Towel.
There's a very specific Shidano that I want to go after. It's TV Shidano. Okay. The one with the mock turtleneck and the little flower in his lapel. That's the one whose ass I would like to kick. You get what I'm saying, John?
Well, yeah, but it's a full turtleneck. George doesn't even go with the mock. He goes with like the full
actual
turtleneck
folded over.
Even better. Even better.
He said he would be happy to wear all that as well. He did say that.
During the bout, he says he will fight you in a turtleneck and with a flower in his lapel.
Mace, I'm not sure you're thinking this one through to the end.
I don't
see the scenario in which you win. What's the scenario in which you win?
I get him on the ground. I'm a ground and pound guy.
Yep. We did say that what if we just started kind of YouTubing and all these videos started coming out of you just being like a backyard brawler. Nobody even knew it. You know, sometimes you'd walk in, you got your own little fight club. Remember there was a time where literally on YouTube, it was organized.
It was just like people kicking each other's ass. Oh, yeah, I've seen that
for
on YouTube.
For fun.
Did they take all that stuff down? Did they take all those?
No, I think it's probably still there.
It's still there. Yeah, if you want to see somebody get their ass kicked, just go to YouTube.
Is there anybody, John, that you would like to drop like a bag of rocks here at the station?
No, I like everybody. There isn't anybody that I really detest. I used to detest Morales, but we kind of had a summit, and and now we're good. There's nobody else. No, I do not share Mason's rage for
around the holiday season.
During Ask Mace.
Around the holiday season.
Yes.
Wow.
So
where did that come from?
Sedano was also mentioning that we were kind of trying to play a little matchmaker, right? As far as who might square off with who. And he suggested that of all the people that are here, that he thinks that might be a sneaky tough out, that may be very, very sneaky tough, is your guy Bergman.
Bergman.
You guys share that opinion?
Yeah, he's...
Does he have a little?
I don't see it. I'm not seeing it.
He's got a little crazy in him.
I think he could unleash like 20 years of rage.
That's what he was explaining.
The guy, though, that he would... Yeah, the guy he would want to beat up on is me. He wouldn't want to take it down on Sedano because Bergman and I disagree about everything. But I don't have that towards him. I just disagree with him
about
the
fight. I would like to see, John, is you versus Travis, and I want you to both get your drivers, and I want it to be like a
fencing
on guard.
You got your 60 or your 56, and we can.
Yeah. No,
we
the problem
Trav,
is they
what?
Go ahead, John.
What's your height and weight right now?
I'm about 6'3"-ish, maybe a little bit more than that, and I'm about
215.
I'm actually in a decent spot right now. I'm probably about 255 the moment.
That's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm 6'185". Which means I'd be giving up 70 pounds.
Right, that is true.
I don't even think we could get a fight like that sanctioned in WWE, let alone regular boxing.
That's true. You would have a huge
advantage. I'm like a featherweight, and Trav is like a heavyweight. Well, I don't even think that'd be allowed.
You guys would not fight because you guys would start talking about West Wing and 90210 and all the other things that you guys share together.
Well, my strategy.
I would just look at Travis and say, I choose me, and he would laugh, and the fight would be over.
So my strategy would be simply, it's the anaconda strategy, which is I fall on top of you, and I just wait for you to be unable to take any breaths.
And then
when you're done and you've expired, I swallow you whole. That's my entire strategy.
Yeah,
I'm not a violent person, so I would just kind of sit there and let you expire
and have
a nice big
Merry
meal.
Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas. Happy season's greetings.
Did you get Sonny?
Okay. So, Ireland, you know that that my puppy dog, Fredo, passed away.
Very sorry to hear that.
On Sunday. Thanks. And so we are looking for a new dog. So yesterday there were two dogs that we were looking at. One is named Purulin, and the other one was named Sonny. Sonny sort of fit into the family because there's another Godfather character, right? Sonny fits perfectly.
Right.
So last night we ended up going to see Purulin. And Purulin was in South Central.
And we went to see Parallel. Very cute dog. Remind us a lot of Fredo. We're playing with him. It's a private owner. We're playing with Purelands. Very sweet, very kind dog and gentle and all that stuff. And we're like, okay, we're good. And the girl looks at us and says, I can't give him up. I'm like, yeah, wow. But we just came here to
She
pick
knew
him
you
up,
were coming to pick the
to
dog
pick
up.
To pick the dog up. She says, I can't do it. I can't do it. I love this dog too much. I'm like, well, why'd you put him on the damn thing? Wow. If you didn't want to give him... She's like, I love him. So now we went to get him, and we thought we had him, and now we don't have him. So we had another reason to go home and cry last night.
Oh, my God. It's
awful.
Yeah,
it was terrible. It's like getting stood up.
Can you still go back and get Sonny?
Yeah, Sonny is still out there. We're going to go meet Sonny on Monday. He's out in... Newbury Park. So we're going to drive out there on Monday and meet Sonny, and hopefully Sonny will be the guy.
Well, listen, sometimes kind of things happen for a reason.
Things happen for a reason,
Let's see what happens.
Sonny must be really, really cool.
But that's interesting. She put him up, and then you get all the way down there, and that's when it's like literally...
And we were like playing with him. We're like, oh, look, he's so cute. Oh, yeah, he's going to get along great. I really can't give him up. I'm like, damn.
That is heartbreaking.
It's like a bait and switch.
Were you pissed?
All right, so true story, you guys.
Yes.
I had a friend of mine, and that happened with a baby. In other words, he was going to a private adoption company, and my friend and his wife flew back to Chicago. And the way this adoption company works is you go back, spend 2 or 3 days with the baby, see if you hit it off, and then you decide whether or not you want to go through with the adoption. So my friend and his wife went back there, fell in love with this kid, spent 4 days with her, was all set at the end, and mom changed her mind.
Oh, that is awful.
And my friends were just devastated.
Of course.
As it turns out, it all worked out in the end. But can you imagine?
I didn't know you can actually change your mind.
That's the brutal switch.
I don't know how legal it is. It was a private adoption agency, and so I think you have to agree to those terms if you're going to do business with them, and that's what happened.
Damn.
Okay, so there's no easy way to transition out of that.
Yeah.
That's really awful.
Seinfeld music.
Yeah. Dun, 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 dun. Hold on, I think I've got it. Hey, we have our own. John, you'll appreciate this. Hold on.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
90210.
There you go.
Transition.
It's going to work out.
Yes.
It will work out.
I have faith. I have faith.
Did the Immaculate Reception hit the ground?
No. It did not.
No?
No.
You're convinced.
I'm convinced it didn't. I mean, I don't like the Raiders, but I am convinced that did not hit the ground.
Ireland, you're a Raider fan.
I am, and I've never, ever felt like that hit the ground. I know John Madden went to his grave saying that it did. But I never did. Now, I think the one that I'll take to my grave is the Tuck rule.
Yeah.
But that was just a horrible call. But Franco Harris's, if I was the official at that game, I would have allowed the Immaculate Reception.
So that's the urban legend. I don't know if it's true or not, but that the officials got together and said, hey, listen, it hit the ground, but we're not getting out of here alive.
No, that's an urban legend.
We're not getting out of here alive.
I want to go
back,
home
we overrule
tonight.
This thing. So, touchdown Steelers, let's get the hell out of
really?
Here.
Really? That story exists out there.
Urban legend. I have no idea if it's true. It sounds
like
too
grassy
good to be
knoll
true.
Kind of stuff.
Yeah, but that's...
You're spreading
that's
false information, no, Travis.
Yes.
I'm spreading
false.
Urban rumors. Yeah. Urban rumors along the way. Yeah. So, who's wearing the jersey tomorrow, Island? Slee with... what did we decide? Mike Bibby? Taylor?
Mike Bibby.
It's either Mike Bibby or...
Magic.
Or
Jay Will.
Or Jay Will. So basically, Lakers got to beat the Kings. If not, then, you know, I'm wearing another.
You're wearing a Mike Bibby jersey
time.
For the day.
Yeah, for the
nice.
Time.
Nice.
Not for the day. He wore it for
okay,
one segment.
Do points matter, or is it just the winner?
Straight up.
Straight up.
Yeah.
Yeah, betting straight up.
Okay. So at one point, Taylor, were you not coming to this game? Were you not going to be up here for this?
We discussed it. The logistics didn't work out.
We were trying to do one of those games in January.
I think Taylor cut a huge break with no Anthony Davis, Slee. I think you could be in trouble. The Kings had their worst loss of the year on Monday. They lost at home to Charlotte, who was riding an 8-game losing streak. So I think they're going to be focused. Now, if everybody else plays, AD's out. But if Austin Reeves, LeBron, and Westbrook all play, Slee, then I favor you. If one or more of those guys is out, then I think you might be in trouble.
Trav, you thought it was a shocker when I said it. Even John is. We're all on the Austin Reeves train.
I haven't quite adapted to the universe where if Austin Reeves is in, we got a good chance. It's taken me a minute.
Did you see the game in Phoenix?
I'm not saying that he's not.
It's just taken me a minute.
What do you have against Austin Reeves?
I want to drop Austin Reeves like a bag of rocks, right? No, I understand Anthony Davis, LeBron James, Russell Westbrook. But
he didn't think Reeves would come up as one of the
key factors.
Well, think about it. If everybody plays tomorrow night without Anthony Davis, he's like number four on the list.
Yeah.
Fourth best player.
No, he is.
Night.
It's tonight. The Westbrook.
Oh, I'm sorry. Tonight. Yeah.
Westbrook, LeBron, Anthony Davis, and then it's Austin Reeves.
It is Austin Reeves, number four.
You've been on the wrong end of a bunch of bad bets, right? And had to I think your eyebrow's fully grown in.
My eyebrow has grown in. Yes.
Is there one that in particular? Like, yeah, I really wish I hadn't have done that because you are very generous when it comes to being willing to be the subject of the bit.
Yeah. Eyebrow bit was the worst. I was terrified that it wasn't grow back in or it would grow
in a different
color.
How long did it take to grow back?
It was like 2.5 months, and I was pretty normal in 2.5 months.
Did you draw it in?
I did not use a Sharpie. I just went au naturel, and it grew back pretty fast.
Have you guys seen this? I know you guys will spend a lot of time on it as well. Have you guys seen this situation of? Do you have one in the past of this Giants Mets thing? Can you think of anything where you think a player is? Hey, it's a done deal. Hey, he's actually about to do a presser, and then they stop the presser. It's postponed, you could say, and then before you know it, he signs with the Mets. Does anything come to mind?
The only thing I can think of, just off the top of my head, is the Dodgers trade with the Angels that said Jock Peterson and Ross Stripling to the Angels, which we thought it was a done deal.
For Luis Rengifo.
Yeah, exactly. And then all of a sudden, bam, I think Artie changed his mind, and the trade did not go through. By the way, it would have been a great trade for the Angels. So, of course, they didn't make it.
Trade for the Angels.
Of course, Artie said no.
They always do exactly the wrong thing.
We've seen people change their minds.
Do you guys remember the longtime sports information director at UCLA, Mark Dellen?
Sure.
All right, so Mark told me a story once that Terry Donahue had accepted the job to be the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. And UCLA announced a press conference at 10 o'clock to announce that Terry Donahue was leaving. And that morning, Mark got a phone call that Terry was having second thoughts. And Mark said, "Do you want me to cancel the presser?" He said, no, he'll figure it out by 10 o'clock.
Wow.
And Mark thought, well, that doesn't help me. So he prepared two press releases. One said Terry Donahue staying at UCLA. The other one said Terry Donahue leaving for the Falcons. And he had one stack in his left hand and one stack in his right hand. And Donahue walked to the podium, and Mark didn't know what he was going to say. And Donahue said, "I'm staying. I decided not to go." And he threw out the Falcons press releases and handed out the other ones.
Wow.
So it happens, but it's very rare.
I think we are inadvertently missing the biggest one, which is the Chris Paul trade.
Never got to a press conference.
Right. We were like celebrating it, Joe. Yeah, you and I were on the air. Yeah. We were celebrating. Hey,
on the
we
front
got
of ESPN.
CP3. It was like, oh, deal confirmed.
But Terry Donahue changed his mind.
Yeah.
David Stern, basketball reasons. There's like a very clear explanation for why this thing went a certain way. I'm still unclear on whether the Giants got cold feet and found a reason.
Well, the Giants said they looked at a medical.
Right. So did they look at a medical and they saw something they didn't like and said, "Hey, can we talk about this?" And the Mets came in and snatched him? Or was this they were looking for a reason to get out of this and then the Mets did him a favor? But you know what I mean?
It's not the same deal either, because
the Giants feel
it's shorter term.
It's for less money and a shorter term.
One less year.
It sounds like Yeah, it makes it sound like the Giants did say, "You know what? Let's rethink this." Farhan Zaidi said, "I'm not sure." Buyer's remorse before you actually buy.
Right. You wake up the morning after you order a bunch of stuff on Amazon when you've had a bunch of martinis. You say, cancel.
I'm going to send that stuff back.
That could be what that is. Because if it's that, then the Giants don't care that it went down.
Right.
If it's the other thing, it's like, wait, what the hell just happened?
Yeah.
It's totally different. and Terry Donahue was the head coach of the UCLA.
By the
Bruins.
Way, you know what? I was thinking about this today when that deal reversed. I thought, you know what? That's a gigantic deal. Does that take the Mets out of the conversation for Shohei Ohtani next year? You think no?
He's obviously
they've got now.
He obviously does not give a damn.
He presented an interesting scenario of just saying Cohen obviously does not care. And a good contract to him is, I don't think he's looking at 10 years down the road. He said, what if the Dodgers offer him $50 million a year? Would Cohen stop and say, I'll give you more years and 10,
I'll give
15
you
million more? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, don't you think he's a $500 million player? Is that over?
Look, here's how I break it down. If the best hitter in baseball, Aaron Judge, Mike Trout, take your pick, is a $40 million a year player, and the best pitcher in baseball, Justin Verlander, is a $44 million a year player, why is Shohei Ohtani not an $84 million a year player?
LeBron, he's not going to get that much, but I'm with you, Trav. I think he's going north of 50.
If LeBron was a baseball player and there was no salary cap, that's kind of what you're saying.
John,
right?
North of 50 for how many years?
Maybe 10.
That's
10
$500
years,
million.
Million?
Yeah.
$500 million.
Don't you think that's in the ballpark of what he'll end up getting?
It is.
I do.
It is.
I do.
And if Soto's going to get that, I know the age is different.
By the way, Shohei will become the highest paid player in the history of North American team sports by a lot, right?
I would think.
Well, to put this in perspective, Kylian Mbappe, who you just saw play so great in the World Cup, and he won the Golden Boot, makes $100 million a year.
Wow.
So, I mean, this wouldn't be – I mean, to play for PSG.
I did not know that.
So this wouldn't be out of the ordinary. If they came out and said Ohtani's getting $60 million a year, he'd still be $40 million behind Mbappe.
Yeah, right. Well, that's insane.
Should have been a soccer player. Yeah, Mason in Ireland coming up next. May start getting in shape, start training.
I'm ready.
You got a bout coming up. We'll see you tomorrow.